Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day, and thank you. Thank you. Thanks for the nucks. He just gave me nucks. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues. What's the name of this place?
Band of Brothers Radio.
Band of Brothers Radio. Eric's in the house with me today.
You've got a rough start going this morning, Raul.
I know. We were talking about the soul bus and about an American flag on top of it. And anyway, and before we know it.
And then the bumper music's playing and we're like, oh.
Yep, we got to start talking. Anyway, good to have you guys here. We have a topic today that has nothing to do with our laughter and everything and our being joyful and everything. It's just the opposite in some cases. Sometimes only for a splecket of time, but sometimes it goes on for a lot longer than that. It's called anger. And how do we deal with it as men, followers of Jesus Christ? How do we deal with this anger? And so we'll talk about that here shortly. And in the meantime, we always like to kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement. Not too much, just a little bit. Keep you coming back for more. So anyway, I didn't even ask if you had anything.
Yeah, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you.
What are you talking about?
I don't know, it just came out. Just a little bit of encouragement.
That's pretty good. You want to go over those again?
Actually, that's not what I was thinking about at all. That's just sometimes the things just fly out of my mouth, and I'm just like, where did that come from? Oh, Lord, help me.
Well, from the overflow of the heart, right? The abundance
yeah.
of the heart comes out of the mouth, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you is not necessarily biblical anyways.
I'll let you know where you heard that, because
it used to be on Saturday Night Live. It was guy that would look in the mirror and you'd smile at himself and say, and he would talk to himself and say, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. He was doing positive self-affirmations, looking into a mirror, and that was his idea of self-psychology or something. I don't know.
Oh, well,
it was painful.
Well, you know, that's funny you mentioned that, because that's kind of like it was all about him, right? Type of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. Which, hang on to that thought. Say something here for a moment. I want to get the producer. We kind of queued something up that we were going to do a little bit later, but I think this is perfect timing for this one here. And it came on SNL, Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live,
yeah. This guy said what now?
You're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you.
Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Oh my goodness, there you go. A little Kenny Loggins just kind of get everybody moving a little
just
bit.
Just to get the blood pumping.
Yeah, because you know, everyone's wanting, they came to listen to the show about anger, and now we're trying to get you not to be not so angry. To kind of just jump around a little bit. But anyway, but back to what we were talking
this
about.
This is not where I thought this was going to go at all. because what I was really thinking about earlier this week is how we have the essentials of the Christian faith, okay? We have that there is one God. He exists in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he bore our sins on the cross when he died, and that he rose again on the third day, and that all of our sins can be forgiven in him.
Yes.
You know, I mean, these are just the most basic of the basic things of the Christian faith, right? But then we get to some of the other things. and then
other
we,
things.
There are other things. You know, we have people who are, you know, staunch on like the Reformed theology, Calvinist side. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. Don't worry about it. And then there's the people who are Arminian. And you'll have Arminians saying that the Calvinists are heretics, and you'll have the Calvinists saying that the Arminians are heretics. And then you've got the premillennial dispensationalists saying that the amillennialists are heretics, and vice versa. And you know what? We just get really caught up in all of this secondary stuff that really doesn't matter. We have the essentials of the Christian faith. So what I'm saying today is, let's just, you know, put aside the differences. I mean, agree to say, hey, you know what? I'd love to sit down with you over coffee and talk about this. And at the end of the whole thing, you know, I may not be convinced and you may not be convinced, but we'll give each other a hug and set a golf date, right?
There you go.
You know, forget about this whole splitting over the non-essentials, and let's just be unified under the banner of Jesus Christ.
And some people just actually just take it too extreme, and it does cause division. It causes mistrust, and it just blows everything up. The enemy looking back saying, I don't have to do anything there. They're doing it all fine, just themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and he just sits back and says, one less bunch that I got to deal with. I'll just deal with these other ones over here. So, but yes, you're right. Under the banner of Jesus, that's what it's about. This is what we believe in, the triune God, and this is the one that we're seeking. And we'd try to do the best we can without bringing that same challenges of, you know, into the Word of God. Try to keep it as simple as possible. Yes, if you, the Lord wants you to go deep, go ahead and go deep. But that doesn't mean everyone else has to believe that and understand that just that way. You know, when we ask for forgiveness, we don't have to sit there and break down what forgiveness means. We just, you know, he looks at the heart, right? And when we're in supplication in our prayers, you know, mean very humble and fervent and very heartfelt, right? Hey, the Lord looks at that and he grants forgiveness, right?
Yep. And, you know, and all these differences that we have, you know, there's actually, last I heard, 44,000 different denominations. 44,000.
Yeah.
And each one of those denominations is because of a refusal to reconcile over a secondary issue, right? So you can see 44,000 different examples of where we've got it wrong.
Yeah.
I don't mean to say that being part of a denomination is wrong. That's not what I'm saying at all. But,
yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking real quickly of a story that a pastor told once, and the neighboring church, their copier was broken. And this other church got wind of it and said, hey, I know that you need to make some copies. Just come over and use ours. And the other church is like, why would you do that? Like there's some sort of competition between the two. You know?
And, yeah, and that's, oh, wait just, a minute. I didn't know you were going to print that.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. We don't agree with infant baptism. You can't print those. In fact, everything that you've printed, I am going to now claim, and I'm not going to let you have it. No, it's just, you know. It can get out of hand. So let's just come together under the banner of Christ and realize that all the secondary issues, they're secondary.
Yeah.
And what it is it's about loving your neighbor.
Well, you know, we're going to segue right into anger because, you know, we're talking about, it's almost similar in precept and principles here. The same thing that has taken place in this anger that we sometimes carry on and everything. Now, you had wanted to bring this out and talk about this. And it doesn't look like you're angry today.
I'm just hiding it very well.
So, so you know what? I don't know if we have the same. Yeah, we have the same notes that we actually picked up together. I liked this first part that it mentions there about
Well, handling anger is, you know, it's important for all of us to learn this. Because of the fact that, you know, anger can have such a devastating impact on our lives. Because, you know, anger, well, I can handle it a couple different ways, and I have handled it a couple different ways. One of them is to completely to blow up at somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm damaging the relationship by blowing up at somebody because of some sort of anger where I think I've been wronged, right? Another way that I've handled it is that I just keep it inside.
Yes.
And I let it sit there and I fester and it's like this, you know, this bitter root, right?
Yes.
And it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And the other person has absolutely no idea that I'm angry and that I'm holding this thing against them.
Well, that anger actually turns into a bitter root, which is the same as resentment, okay? And from things that are not dealt with, okay? You can have anger, but I think when it stays and actually starts to grow within, and because it's not dealt with, it's not talked about, it's not dealt with, period. And all of a sudden that festers. It has a tendency of affecting so many other parts of our life. How many of us have come home from work or from doing something where maybe it was not a very good experience, okay? Maybe there was something really bad. And you've heard the analogy, hey, dad came home and he kicked the dog. You know, sometimes you don't have a dog. Sometimes it happens to be one of the children. I used to be one of those, you know. I happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time, right? Hey, Dad, how you doing?
Oh, my goodness.
And then all of a sudden, that's all it takes.
Raul, have you been like a fly on the wall in my house? Because I've been so guilty of that, you know.
Yeah. But those are things that take off this way. And here, and you use a perfect example, yourself, in a sense. I know you. You're a man that's seeking God. You're not a perfect man. None of us are. But you're seeking God, and you attempt to get your family to get on the right track of being on the same page. And when you have children, they go through their emotional experiences too as they're growing and everything, especially if they're in teenage years and stuff. But it doesn't matter. The point is that what ends up taking place is that this anger that we've felt or carry can all of a sudden be very explosive in a household. Or in a home, or even if you live by yourself. It's amazing where that will take you. It's amazing that, not amazing necessarily, like it's impossible, but when I lived by myself, which was not a whole lot of time, but the point being is that the enemy will take me and get me to a place where I don't like me very much, or the world. And then I start thinking that, what's the sense of going down this path or keeping this? I'm just going to whatever it is, right? And you go about that way. You justify what you're feeling or what you're about to do because of how you feel, right? And that is, we see that all over through the Bible too. It's not just in us. We see it throughout.
Oh yeah, we love to justify our anger.
Yeah,
you know. In fact, maybe you remember the story of the prophet Nathan.
Yes,
came to David and told him about a man who took a poor man's sheep, and David was like, "Oh, this man has to die for what he has done." You know. Meanwhile, you know, in his mind, he's been justifying. His sin and everything that he's done, and now he's angry at this man who took the poor man's sheep,
he's
feeling
you,
pretty
David.
Justified in this, right? And then Nathan's like, "Dude, it's you."
Yeah, yeah, it's you. Exactly.
That's a paraphrased version, dude.
Yeah. And so often, and in hindsight, we can look at this sort of thing. But here, you know, here's the challenge with anger. Anger is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's not like if you're angry, oh, I shouldn't be angry. No, because then you're just stuffing things. You know, when you have feelings or emotions and things that are that need to just be aired out in a sense, or maybe even acknowledged. That's why so often, and I'll just get to say real quick, that's why it's so important for men to have, if the very least, best friends, other men that you can talk with. And share, this is what is going on in my life, man. But so often, men don't like doing that, okay? We don't even like gathering with other men because I don't want them to see my weakness.
Right.
I don't want them to get one up. Because the majority of men think that they have to make sure that, hey, this is my space. Don't anybody come in it unless I allow you in it, you know? And but we don't want help, right? We don't want directions either.
No. But we don't want help. I've been working on a project car for a while, and
it's been a few days.
Yeah, it's been years, and it doesn't look like it. But anyways, I started it up this last weekend. I was like, this is the weekend. You know, this is the day that it's like, hey, this thing's going to be, you know, ready to, you know, I can start getting it on the road, right? And I started it up, and the old man, the engine ran great. And then I saw the puddle underneath the car where it's squirting transmission fluid out of the – and you know what? And my response is I'm like, well, how do I fix this? I'm not thinking about getting anybody's help.
Yes.
You know, I'm not thinking about who might know why there's transmission fluid squirting out of the side of the transmission. Yeah. I'm thinking about how can I do this by myself?
I'll go to YouTube.
Yeah. YouTube didn't have much, so I'm going to have to get some help.
Okay, now we can laugh about this sort of thing, but truly when it comes down to that emotion.
Oh, and I was angry about that, just so you know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We kind of gathered that. That's a lot of hours and time and effort that you put into that, and then all of a sudden to see that and go, serious, you know? And hopefully that's the word you used. But what ends up taking place is that we end up holding a lot of that stuff in and saying, you know, this is just the way it is in the world. And that's part of what I believe that as followers of Jesus, as men, what I've been called to do is to be able to let men see that there's freedom in transparency. And being able to allow people to see where you're really at and allow them to be able to experience that. Because the more often that we're able to do that. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I don't believe that this gives us a green light to be honest with somebody. Hey, you know what? You're really ugly, you know. And that is inappropriate. And you guys know what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about being willing to tell somebody that, you know, if somebody did something that maybe it bothered you and you're not sure as to what's gone on, to actually say something to them. You know what? What you said may not have, I received it, I think, maybe different than what you had intended for me to receive.
Yeah.
But that
hurt. Can you help me to understand what you meant?
Exactly. And go in that manner. And you won't ever, you won't see that very often. You won't see it because a lot of times the men who are doing it are not trying to let everybody see what they're doing, right?
Well, and the easier answer to the problem is to say nothing and to let the anger stew within me, right?
Right.
That's a whole lot easier than going to somebody and, you know, and being vulnerable and opening up and, you know, asking for help in understanding this and, you know, trying to reconcile.
Yes.
You know, because that reconciliation is so, so important.
Well, but a lot of times, back to justifying our anger and everything, so often I'll even think in my head that you just don't understand. If you were in my shoes and you experienced what I've experienced and how it took place, you just don't understand. I said that to my wife here the other day. You just don't understand. You're not going to understand. And I'm trying to justify my feeling. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she loves me so much, she just allows me to go ahead and just kind of air it out a little bit.
She just stood there and chuckled at you.
Well, she didn't even chuckle because she knows that'll probably make me even more angry. You know, you're not really paying attention. You don't think it has any validity to what I'm saying, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is that in some cases, sometimes that's all that's necessary, is to be able to air out, in a sense, without causing harm. I think when we end up not having that release valve, right? That the pressure gets so huge that when you do come home and your dog comes up to get a pet, you kick it away, right? And or your child comes up and you bite their head off, and or your wife says, "How are you?" And I don't even have to say anything about
that.
Well, right?
A hot water heater has a vent valve on it, right?
Yes.
And as the pressure builds up in the hot water heater, it'll allow the excess pressure to vent off.
Yes.
There are some people who foolishly have decided to remove that vent and seal it. And what happens is that hot water heater will just continue to build and build and build pressure until all that pressure has to escape all at once.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen what happens to a water heater, a hot water heater, when it vents all of its pressure all at once, because it actually shoots up. It'll shoot through three stories of your house.
Yep.
And another 200 feet above that, and then come crashing back down.
I saw, you know, that on that same show you did.
Yeah, the Mythbusters?
Mythbusters, yes.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. But, I mean, we do the same thing with our anger, don't we?
Yep.
Where we keep it, you know, we'll keep it bottled up, and then when it's time for it to vent, you know, kaboom. You know, but Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back."
Yeah.
You know, that's about, you know, just letting it go all at once. And that's what you're talking about, you know, dealing with these things as they come on and communicating them instead of allowing them to continue to gain pressure.
You know, we can laugh in hindsight over certain things, but who I really feel bad for when this anger emotion is in the room? I feel bad for the scapegoat. Because they don't even know it's coming. They don't even know why they're receiving it, but they're getting it full force sometimes. And we've all been a scapegoat at one time or another for someone. And sometimes that's what helps, or it doesn't help, but that's what usually kicks in to how we end up dealing with anger. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back and talk about this sort of thing. Kind of have something in here that I just wanted to mention when we get back. When we talk about, let's see, there's a couple of different things, if I can find it here, where it talks about two Greek words in the New Testament are translated as anger. We're going to tell you what those two meanings are when we get back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Lord, we're crying.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know, I almost called you Duke. I said Duke's in the studio.
I'm not nearly that good looking.
Oh man, he's gonna love hearing that today. He's I know he's listening. Anyway, Eric in the house with me, and I'm Raul. Anyway, here's what
Raul.
I wanted to. All right. I'm just going to read this. Anger is not always sin. There is a type of anger which the Bible approves, often called righteous indignation. God is angry. You know where God got angry, and mentioned in Psalm 7 and in Mark 3:5. And believers are commanded to be angry, okay, in Ephesians 4:26. Okay, mm-hmm. Be angry, but do not sin.
Yeah, do not sin in your anger.
So two Greek words in the New Testament are translated as anger. One means passion and energy, okay? Just a passion and energy, okay? The other means agitated and boiling, okay? Biblically, anger is God-given energy intended to help us solve problems. Wow. To be able to get our attention, I guess, on something, to be able to say, hey, this needs to be repaired. Look at the oil underneath my transmission. I've got to repair this instead of hitting it and burning the whole thing up, okay? Examples of that, of course, we did the one with David and Nathan, mm-hmm. right? And then, of course, Jesus in the temple, right? Throwing the
money changers
all the money
tables.
Changers tables and all of that sort. And that being said, it's important for us to recognize that anger at an injustice inflicted against oneself is also appropriate. Okay? Anger has been said to be a warning flag. It alerts us to those times when others are attempting to or have violated our boundaries. So there are times when it is important that others see our anger. Someone's trying to do harm to one of my grandchildren and I happen to be with them or something like that. Yeah, my anger is going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But how we deal with that anger and what we do as a result of the anger is what I believe is so, so important. It doesn't give us a free right to all of a sudden take a step of doing something that would be totally inappropriate, especially if that person, you ever have that where you know that you're not feeling very comfortable with something that's gone on inside you? I use the example of coming mm-hmm. home, right? But you get into a discussion with someone that you know, may not even be a friend, but just somebody that you know, and all of a sudden they start to say something, and and all of a sudden that really upsets you, or you said something to them that upsets them, and you've got anger already inside you, and then now all of a sudden it really comes out. Have you ever had someone tell you, "Said, why are you so upset?"
No, Raul.
You've never. No. This is the same as road rage. This is the same thing as road rage. Same thing takes place. You've got
right.
this
it's,
inside.
Right, it's that proverbial straw
exactly.
that breaks the camel's back, yeah.
And anyway, so did you have...
Well, that's what you were talking about is allowing it to linger.
Yes.
You know, we get angry about something, and instead of dealing with it, you know, we allow it to linger where it builds. And then, you know, things like this happen where somebody says something, yep. and all of a sudden I'm directing all this anger that's not shouldn't be directed at this person,
right.
at that person. And
right.
and now I'm, you know, now I'm destroying the relationship, right?
Yes. Yes.
So, I mean, there's some real repercussions to, you know, allowing it to linger. I love Psalm 103. It says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities."
And truly, we're supposed to be more like him. We're supposed to strive to be more like Jesus.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay? And in doing so, that is the way that he wants us to live. That's where we become obedient to him, showing our love for him. Here's another one that I love in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 20. "For a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So important for us to realize that, okay? That we sit there and realize that, you know, what this is all about is about him creating us into the men that he wants us to be able to take responsibility for what he puts in our lives. That may be a wife, children, a family, taking care of making sure that there is a home, making sure that there is security. If nothing else, more important above all of that, that God is brought into the home, okay, and taught and talked about, okay? That is one of not the most important responsibility that we have.
Yeah, but, you know, we can be really prideful with our anger.
Oh, no, not me.
Right. Well, you know, we have the sense that I have the right to feel this way. I'm right. Everyone else is wrong. And then there's the whole victim mentality that the world is out to get me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that can be turned internally.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, and that's the anger of man that doesn't produce the righteousness of God.
Mm.
You know, when we're pursuing our own interest, in this anger,
yes,
you know, and I'm putting myself above everybody else, and I'm not dying to self. I'm not loving my neighbor as myself. But what I'm doing is I'm elevating myself above that person, and also I'm elevating myself above God, even.
Yes,
you know, so I can be very prideful in my anger. And I have to, I have to realize that for what it is, because, you know, pride is the opposite of humility.
Yes.
And God says that, if you humble yourself before God, you will be exalted. If you exalt yourself, yes, you're going to be humbled.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and
we've all gone down that path.
It's a lot easier to be exalted by God than to be humbled by God.
Oh, goodness, there's no doubt. No doubt. You know what? Let's do this. I know it has been very long since the break, but let's take a break so that we can come back and kind of fill in some of the stuff on how do we deal with this anger? What's the best way? What does the Bible say? And what does God truly intend for us? Does he really think that we're going to be free of all this anger? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven, or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flight case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I'm alright, nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
That could be part of the problem right there. Do what you like. You know,
we do not condone all of the lyrics of the song.
Yes, no, we just we thought it was real appropriate, because what it comes down to is that this emotion on anger, it has everything to do with where we are in our own minds on how our relationship is with Jesus Christ. I mean, one of the questions I remember being asked by a mentor of mine at one time, all the time, when we sit down in his office, he would, very first question after prayer, he'd say, "So how's your relationship with Jesus?" I didn't like that question all the time. I want to talk about these other things.
Mm-hmm.
But all those other things have a bearing on my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and it demands transparency right from the get-go.
Absolutely, absolutely. I used to do the same thing when I was as a chaplain going into the jail, and I talked to the guys who want to come out and talk to the chaplain. Some guys just want to come out and tell me why they've been wronged, and some guys want me to get information to their families and all this stuff. And I say, listen, no, I'm here to talk about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you serious? You're going to go there that quick? That's what some of these guys would say to me, and not those words necessarily, but meaning that same thing. Say, listen, I've got men inside there who want to talk to me about Jesus. Now, you can go back inside there if you'd like, or we can talk about this. Okay, we'll talk about it. Because they just want that little break. My point being is that's why the Lord said, seek me first above all things. Seeking him first above all things. And then the very next, or just as important as that, is to help others. Love others as you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, these two commandments fall under, all the commandments fall under those two categories. And if you're doing those two things, you got everything that needs to take place.
Well, and that is perfect, because it brings us to one of the ways that we can handle anger biblically.
Yes.
And that is to seek God in the trial.
There you go.
You know, in James it says, encounter pure joy when you encounter trials of various kinds. And
which is not easy to do.
It's not it is not easy to do. But you know, when we know that that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Yes.
All these things that have caused us to be angry, to have this anger. Well, you know, God is working on us through all of our situations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if we really are seeking God in all these things, and you know, it's not always easy to do. It's not always easy to see how God is working something out for good.
Yep.
It's not always easy to see how this trial that I'm going through is developing perseverance. It's not always actually even visible at all until you've gone through it, and you can turn around and look
right.
backwards, and you can see how God has changed your heart.
Yes,
in ways.
Well, you can look biblically at the story of Joseph, okay,
yeah, uh-huh.
and his brothers who had sold him. And if you need to go read the story of Joseph, right, and you can see what he said at the very end when his family, you know, there's a famine that's taking place in the land and everything, but he provides for his family. And his brothers are astounded and says, man, he's treating us this way. What
right,
is that all
right,
about?
Because the brothers sold him into slavery.
That's right.
You know, so they're all like afraid of Joseph.
Yeah.
He's ruling over them now.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're totally afraid.
That's it.
And then Joseph comes along and says, you know, what God or what you intended for harm,
yes.
God intended for good.
Amen.
You mm-hmm. know, and I don't think that Joseph, when he was sitting in the pit or when he was sitting in the prison
right.
or when he was accused of rape or any of these things, I don't think that he was thinking, oh, boy, I'm just going to find some joy in this.
Well, look at the things even when in the New Testament with Paul, okay, the times that he was thrown in prison and what he did while he was in there. Man, he was looking at being able to praise God in song and in psalms, right? But,
yeah.
But talked with the guys who are, in charge of him. Okay,
right. I find that amazing too.
Yes,
because he's like, praise God, I got somebody chained to me.
Yeah,
they got to sit here and listen.
It might have been Barnabas, but but the point is that this is the type of joy that we want to be able to have. Okay, now truly. This anger sometimes is an indicator that there are issues within myself that I need to look at. There are things that I need to take a look at that I haven't looked at, especially mm-hmm. when same things seem to be happening with different people, but the same result. Okay.
Right. So anger might not be the problem, but the symptom of the problem.
That's it. And the key is to find out what that is. Now, the best way of doing that, brother, I'm going to just tell you first and foremost is praying and asking the Lord to be able to reveal that to you
mm-hmm.
and to give you the courage and the strength and willingness to seek help from another brother.
Right, exactly.
Okay?
Because sometimes it's not visible.
Yeah. The Lord's not just going to all of a sudden open the Bible to the page that you need to be reading to see how to be able to take care of that. You know, when we're left to our own devices by ourselves, I don't think God wants us to do everything by ourselves. He wants us to be in fellowship. All the more
absolutely.
Reason that he wants to be able to let others know about him. When Paul had his challenges with the thorn in his side, do you think he might have been not only discouraged, but a little angry that God wasn't going to, take care of that? But God said, uh-huh. My grace is sufficient for you. That's all you need is my grace is sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so then Paul realizes, what's he say? Paul ends up saying, or the Lord says, it's through your weaknesses that my power will be perfected, right? And Paul goes on to say, all the more reason that I will boast in my iniquities and in his weaknesses, all the more, because then I'd be boasting for the Lord, okay? Because
right.
really what it comes down to is that when we are transparent, willing to share our faults and our challenges in our life that have gotten us to this place here today, okay, closer to Jesus, the more that we share that with other people, the more people that are going to actually hear it, because they're not going to feel like you're trying to slam them down with something. Believe this. No, this is what happened to me. And let the Holy Spirit work in them. Like Paul says, hey, I planted the seed, Apollos watered the seed, but God is the increase. It's always God that does the increase. So I say that because we need fellowship. We need to be with others.
Right.
Okay.
We need to be able to communicate the problem that we're having, whether it's, you know, talking to the person that I'm angry at. Sometimes it's just a situation, and you can't really talk to a situation.
Yes.
You know, but that's why we have, you know, God gives us brothers and sisters in Christ. If you're a guy, you know, talk to another guy.
Yes.
And you know, but He gives us that. He makes us for fellowship. And so, you know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to be, you know, communicating, talking about the things that are, you know, the problem, not just a symptom of the problem, but,
yes,
but talking about what the real problem is. And, you know, I need somebody else for that. You know, when you're in the middle of a forest, you can't really see the forest because of all the trees, right?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
But when you're outside the forest, you can see the whole forest. Sometimes when somebody is standing outside the forest, they can really help us and to see these things. And so that's one of the things that we can do, is to really it's difficult to be so vulnerable,
yes,
to talk about your weaknesses and to talk to somebody else. But man, I would encourage all the guys who are listening to do that and to seek somebody that they can talk to.
Again, there are a few points that we wanted to make. One that you had given here already. Another one I just want to read out of the book of Ephesians. We've read it once already, but in chapter 4, verse 27, it says, or 26 rather, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Then it goes on in verse 27, says, and do not give the devil a foothold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what ends up taking place.
Exactly.
Is that the enemy gets an opportunity, sees a weakness within us, trying to deal with something in ourselves that is tearing down, eating us up inside. He sees a place where he can now get a foothold. You know what a foothold is? It's when you're climbing a rock, a cliff side, you're able to get your foot planted into something so you feel a little more secure. You're not just hanging on with just your arms. Now you've got your foot, your leg to be able to help you. That's what the enemy is looking for, footholds, to be able to stay connected with you, to be able to get a better angle, maybe even power toward him trying to weaken us, okay? So as a result of that, one of the things that we can do to be able to minimize that is that actually when we sense, and we know this as guys, we know when we're starting to get heated up, we know what's going on. Sometimes we light a cigarette, or sometimes you go have a beer or something to be able to kind of calm down. That doesn't really calm anything down. You just end up having more cigarettes and more beer, okay, or whatever.
Yeah,
all right,
that doesn't help.
Or getting high or whatever it is, because you don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, well, the problem, when you come down, the problem is still there.
Yes, and it's probably worse because of the things that you end up doing to try to relieve it. Okay, that's the way it was with me. But there's something that's so simple, and it's called pause. That you pause before you say anything or do anything. That means you step back in some situations. That means you actually have to sit there and go, well, how do I pause? How can I do that when my anger is about ready to explode and this guy's looking at me with angry eyes? I want to just hit him, right? That's where you know that God gives you all the courage, all the strength that you need. 1 Corinthians 10,
that's right. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says,
yes,
there's no temptation that has overtaken you except that which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but
yes,
with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you can endure it.
So that means simply that by seeking God and asking his help, and you can do it internally. You don't have to say it out loud. You can if you want to, but the fact is that you need to step back, and sometimes that way out may mean that you just leave that situation for a moment. If it's with one of your family members or somebody that you love, you say, you know, right now is not a good time. Give me a few minutes. I need to just be alone just with the Lord right now. Say that to them.
So just a few minutes, or are there different?
You know what? How long is that pause? That pause, it could be a few moments. It could be minutes. It could be hours. It could be days. It could be a while. The Lord will let you know, because when you're seeking him fervently, okay, and with supplication, humbly and heartfelt, he is going to answer. He's going to let you know. But he may also want you, as you've already heard, to go and seek another brother, one that is trustworthy. Hey, whose pastor is not trustworthy? If you can't trust your pastor, then you need to go to another church to find one that you can trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you can't trust anybody, then find somebody who doesn't trust anybody else and find out why you can't trust anybody. Anyway, I don't think it makes any sense. But
well,
anyway.
You say that sometimes we might have to pause for days, but the scripture says not to let the sun go down on our anger.
Yeah.
So, you know, does that mean that I at least have to give it over to God and I can't deal with this anger, and so I am asking you, Lord, to help me to deal with it and to take it away from me, and that my thoughts would be godly.
And that's where that pause takes place, because when you ask for the Lord's presence, you're in His presence. You're in His throne room with Him right now. And as a result of that, just humbling ourselves and asking Him, pleading. Okay, now don't expect that God's going to pick you up or pick that other person up and move them out of the way. You know, I don't know what God has intended. I've not seen that in my own life. But if I remove myself from the situation or don't make the phone call or say or just end the conversation or whatever it is, you know, well, I'm at work and I can't go anywhere. Well, then that's where you need to just say, if nothing else, go to the bathroom. You know, we do a head break right now. Whatever it is to get yourself away from that situation for a moment in time.
Because we're going to attack the person instead of the problem.
That's it.
If we're acting out of anger, if we're reacting, then that's, you know, I'm talking from my perspective. Yeah. This is what Eric would do, okay? Mm-hmm. If I were to react, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up attacking the person instead of attacking the problem.
Yep.
And that's sinful, to attack the person.
Yep.
You know, so...
It's just an amends you're going to have to make somewhere down the line. One more thing you're not going to want to do, but you're going to have to do. So the less that I actually create challenges with another individual, the less likely that I'm going to have to come up with enough courage to come and ask for forgiveness somewhere down the line. And I don't like to have to ask for forgiveness. That is not fun.
Oh, but I've gotten so good at it.
Yes. Can you just do it quicker than the way you have to do it? It's been years since then. No. But anyway. Now, this topic obviously has led us into a situation where we haven't given all the information we wanted to give away. But you got exactly what the Holy Spirit wanted us to be able to give away during this period of time. So that's a good topic, man.
It's a tough one. There is, because, you know, there is actually a lot in Scripture about anger. And the reason for that is because we all get angry. There is no temptation that is overtaking you except that which is common to man.
And just know the one verse, be still and know that I am God.
And that's about God fighting battles for you.
Would you pray for our brothers?
I will. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that though you anger, you do not hold your anger against us, Father. So I just pray that we would have the mind of Christ and that we would be willing to forgive, Father, that we would be willing to put aside all anger and malice so that, Father, the goodness of Christ would come through us. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.